It is an honor to be here to address the campus. I have very many, many memories here. I grew up on this campus, and this is where I actually learned how to swim, down here in Alpine Pond, all right? And my first job was here on campus in the dish room. It's also my first water battle in the dish room. It used to be in the library, but anyways. And more importantly to me, this is where I actually received the Lord Jesus as my Savior at the age of 5 in Buchanan Hall. And that to me is huge. And not only did I grow up here physically, but I've grown up here, spiritually as well. And as Dr. Anderson said, I'm a 1996 grad, and I'm so honored to be able to share that. And also, it is an honor to be here with you guys to learn and to grow in God's Word together. So, would you guys stand and read with me the theme that you have for this year? All right, servants rejoicing in God's goodness. All right, thank you. You may be seated, but I want to pose a question to you. When is it that we're able to rejoice in God's goodness? Is that only when all things are well? Or is it also during challenge and struggle? And today, God has laid on my heart that we want to visit that thought and see. Paul tells us, as you guys already know, is when do we rejoice? Will you read this with me? Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know, it's kind of interesting. In case you did not get it the first time he said it, he says it again, rejoice. And that's the challenge. It's not rejoicing in the circumstances, not rejoicing in what it is that God is doing in our lives, because as I have a quote here, Debbie Oliver says this, our trials become testimonies, and our pain becomes a platform for God's glory. Are we able to also rejoice in God's goodness in the moments when we're going through some struggle? How can we have a victory if we have no battle? How can we have a mountaintop without a valley? So those are some thoughts that I want to challenge us with. Let's go ahead and have another word of prayer. Father God, we do bow before you this morning. God, I'm asking that you speak through us, through me to us. Lord, open our minds to listen to your word. Help us to learn what you have for us to understand. And then, Lord, help us to go and live it in the wisdom of our lives. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Will you join me in Acts chapter 16? As you're going into Acts chapter 16, I would like to bring a little bit of a backdrop up to the part that we're going to spend some extra time in. In Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 5, we're seeing that Timothy joins Paul and Silas in their ministry on this second missionary journey. Also in verses 6 through 10, we're seeing the sensitivity to the Spirit's leading in the Macedonian call. They wanted to go this way, but God's Spirit said, no, we're going to do something different. And that's a big lesson for all of us to learn, isn't it? Sometimes we want our way, and God has a different plan. And then we see in verses 11 through 15 the conversion of Lydia. And she becomes a very important part of Paul's missionary journeys as well. But I want us to pick up in Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 18a. And I would like to categorize this set of verses as agitated. You might see why it's called agitated here in just a moment. But let's read that together. As it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, this man and this is a servant of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul began being grieved. But Paul being grieved. Now we're going to pause there for just a minute. What was it that Paul was grieved about? I mean, wasn't she saying, I mean, are they not the servants of the Most High God, which show unto the way of salvation? Is that not true information? It was the way it was being said. She probably was very sarcastic, very antagonistic, agitating, and as we're going to see here, what happens as a result of this is that Paul actually is going to cast out these demons. Now let's go ahead and go into the next point here. He's accused falsely. Next passage of scripture here is verses 18b through 21. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men being Jews, notice that, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. So, first of all, they were Jew, but they're bringing this thought out. Later on, we'll see later that they were also Roman. But they were being falsely accused of the fact that they were trying to spread heresy. And so we're seeing that they are falsely accused. Now let's go on into another passage of scripture, or just before we get that, let's look at this. Think of a time when you took a stand for your faith. When you took a stand for your faith, think of that. How did you feel, and how did you react when someone maybe persecuted you or made fun of you or caused false accusations about what you're doing? That's one of the challenges that we need to think of, just as they were doing. Now, let's take a moment and look at another part of this passage of Scripture. We're now looking that not only were they accused, they're also going to be abused. All right, let's look at that passage. Acts 16, verses 22 through 24 says this, And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent their clothes and commanded to beat them. So notice, I mean, they've stripped them of their clothing. They're now being commanded to be beaten. And when they had many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safe, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. In our world of today, we might call this that they were under maximum security. They're in the inner, I mean, oversharing the gospel by casting out a demon. And now they're treated this way. Have you ever stopped to think, wonder what they were thinking? When you took that stand for your faith, maybe you weren't beaten physically, but you were verbally abused. Again, maybe there was somebody that was making fun of you or trying to spread lies and rumors about that. Also, there's another type of an abuse that I think even Paul and Silas were facing as well, and that is the mental abuse. Did the enemy play mind games? You guys, you know, we all have our mind, and we're going to see here in a minute. The battlefield is in our mind, isn't it? And our mind likes to play games. We want to try to figure it all out. Why are they saying that? Why are they doing this? All of those types of things. And then there could have been shot with the fiery darts and the lies and doubts and fears and all of these things. All right? So we can see here that there's a big dilemma. Paul and Silas were in this big dilemma, weren't they? They're going to have to make a choice of what they're going to do as a result of this. So they're going to have to choose whether or not they're going to take a stand or choose to give in. Not only were they agitated with ridicule, they were falsely accused and abused. You and I have some life struggles as well, don't we? We're agitated, aren't we? Sometimes it might be somebody that has a different personality than we have. Or maybe they do it differently. Or maybe it's different opinions. Or when someone disrespects God, His Word, and His people, we can get agitated about some of those things, right? Also, there's going to be times when we might be falsely accused. Maybe we're misunderstood. Maybe it's a hearsay thing. Oh, did you hear about so-and-so? You know, we as believers, we like to chocolate coat that with, oh, you need to pray for this situation. You know what I mean? You know, where's the borderline between gossip and prayer, you know? Because sometimes it's gossip. What about abuse? As we've already kind of talked about this, we have a physical abuse, a verbal abuse, a mentally abuse, physical abuse for your faith. All right? Sometimes it's going to be that you're being made fun of, a verbal abuse. And as we've already said, those mind games, the lies and the doubts that are playing around in your head from the enemy. As we've already said, though, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, do we? Will you guys join me by standing and let's read this verse together? Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6:12. Thank you. You may be seated. You see, our mind, that's where everything gets started, right? And that's why there's so many other scriptures about guarding your mind, gird up the loins of your mind, and renewing your mind and transforming them, all right? The battlefield is in our mind. And as we go through our life struggles, that's where a lot of problems start to develop, is in our mind. Here's a quote. You probably have heard this before. The struggle is real. In life, you are going to face real struggles in life. But guess what? So is God. And notice in this quote, it's larger print. God is much bigger than the struggle of life. Whatever that might... I don't know what your struggle is. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what you're facing in life. But I will guarantee you, all of us have a struggle of some kind. And our God is bigger than that. Let's see what happens with Paul and Silas and how we can learn from some of the things that they were talking about. You know, we both, myself and all of you, we are victims of a lot of those things that we just talked about being made fun of or abuse or agitated and accused for things. But we're also violators. May I present to myself as well as to all of you, we've got to be careful that we're not falling in those categories that we just talked about and being guilty of doing those things towards others in our lives. We have to be very sensitive and careful of that. Let's change our focus now to, now that they're in the prison, what is God going to do through this? What is he going to show and teach through this situation with Paul and Silas? First of all, they were having to acknowledge God is near. Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 26 is challenging us with this. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all of the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. As we look at that passage, there's a couple of things that jumps out to me. Paul and Silas were there, but what did they do first? They started off with prayer. And that's where we have to start, is prayer. God, I need to understand this. I need to see this through your eyes. My mind is all over the place. And we have to start with prayer. And then, after you pray, it didn't get them out of prison, did it? They're still struggling with this situation, but now they can praise in this situation. As our theme this year is rejoicing in God's goodness. Can we find good in bad? Sure. You just got to look, and God has to reveal that to us after we have some time in prayer. So, as we can see there, I also notice here the fact that the prisoners heard them. You know, there's people in your life, in my life, that are looking at us and watching us in our life of real life struggle. And sometimes our testimony of a living witness is going to help us to be an example to them, maybe before we're even able to share about the good news. But our life is drawing them. I want to know, what is it about you? What is different about you that I want to know more about that? As we're going to see this a little bit later. Okay, so also we're seeing that God intervenes. What happens? God sends an earthquake. What also happens? He literally is giving them a way to escape. So Paul and Silas has a choice here. What is it? Well, they could do a jailbreak. I mean, they're released. They could get gone and they can leave. Or they can be still and know that God has a big plan. There are so many times, and me included, I want out of my struggle. God, I just don't want to deal with this. But you know what? God is challenging us. Be still and know He is in control, and He has something very big, much bigger than our minds could even begin to imagine or think of, that can come afterwards. We'll see here in a minute what that looks like for Paul and Silas. What about you, though? You have a choice, too. When you're going through your real life struggle, what is that choice you're going to choose to make? Seek your own understanding and figure it out on your own. I've done that, and I'll tell you, it not only get me out of it, it gets me further deeper into trouble. All right? It makes the challenge even more challenging. So often we think, oh, God, I got this. It's okay. This isn't too bad, and so I want to take care of this matter. Guess what? It might start small, but it becomes huge. Now we're ready. God, I need your help. I don't know what to do. I really messed up and made a big challenge of this. But you also have the challenge of keep praying and believing that God is bigger than the struggle. Once again, I don't know your struggle, but I can guarantee every one of us in this room has a struggle. What is your response to that? How are you going to respond to that? God, help me to be still and know and be patient and let you work your best good in my life. I love it how Matthew West says this in a song. It says this: what's your impossible, I need a miracle? What's got you barely hanging by a single thread? What looks so hopeless now? What weighs you down with heart with doubt? You beg for a breakthrough, but no sign of a breakthrough yet. When you've cried and you've cried till your tears run dry, the answer won't come and you don't know why. And you wonder if you can bow your head even one more time. Don't stop praying. Don't stop calling on Jesus' name. Keep pounding on heaven's door and let your knees wear out the floor. Don't stop believing, because mountains move with just a little faith. And your Father's hearing every single word you're saying. So don't stop praying. Again, I don't know where you are, and I don't know what you're praying about and what you're struggling about, but don't stop praying. I know what it's like. Some days it's just like, and the Bible even talks about, there's times when we're in such grief or challenge that the Holy Spirit is having to pray it through us. So whatever that may look like, let's see. Again, Paul and Silas, what did they do? How did they find the peace in acknowledging God's nearness in their struggle? By, first of all, going to prayer. But then, after they prayed, God gave them a new song, and it was to praising God. What about you and I? How are we in your real struggle? Are you praying? Don't stop. If you've not been praying, get started. And then God can give us that praise in the time of storm, in a struggle, and whatever it is that we're facing. Once again, this was our theme verse that we kind of thought of earlier today. I just want to bring that back to our attention here. It says, my brothers, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that your trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, without nothing. You see, the struggle that we're going through is helping us to get closer to God, helping us to grow in Him. And that's where we then could be rejoicing, because He's been faithful, not just in the good times, but even more so in the challenging times, in the bad times. All right? That's how He shows us how real we are. We're going to do a little bit of a practice of this, okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to set a challenge up, and then I want all of you to shout out, rejoice in the Lord. Now remember, I love working with children. I'm honored to do that, because they're open to a lot of things. And so with the little kids, we would tell them, in your outside voice, I want you guys to respond, rejoice in the Lord. All right, are you ready? We're going to practice. Here you go. What are you going to say? Rejoice in the Lord. Now, I hear you guys all the way from the soccer field down to our house whenever you're having a soccer game. So I know you guys have a louder voice than that. Let's try that again. What are you going to say? Rejoice in the Lord. Okay, ready? Here we go. Here's our situation. All right? You're agitated. What are we going to do? Rejoice in the Lord. All right? You're accused falsely. What are you going to do? Rejoice in the Lord. And then maybe you're abused physically, mentally, or verbally. What are we going to do? Rejoice in the Lord. Why are we able to rejoice? Simply because of what we just read in James. Because God is working something good. Now, we have to pause and think, God, am I guilty? Is there a sin that needs to be confessed that has brought some of this on? So that, you have to start there, and that's the part of the praying. But if there is something that is not there, then we just need to pray and keep praying and believing God has a plan that he's working out in our lives. May I challenge you with that you do, we all have our real life struggles. I'm going to give you a power word, and that power word is real. And that letters of real is going to remind us, what do you do when you face your very next life struggle? R is going to remind us to recite Philippians 4:4. What does it say, everybody? Rejoice in the Lord. Okay? E, you want to express that struggle to God. Don't stop praying. For me, that looks like getting out in my vehicle, maybe driving, and talking to God out loud. Okay? There's a value of praying to God out loud, especially in these times of struggle. If you go for counseling, what is the thing that people do? They sit there and ask you questions so you can verbalize it out loud. And in most cases, the counselor didn't tell you what to do. You have come to that realization on your own. Is not God our wonderful counselor? Go and pray it out and talk to him out loud. A, we've got to acknowledge God's nearness. And how do we do that? Again, we're recognizing, God, this struggle is bigger than me, and it is not gone, but I'm going to rejoice in the Lord anyways. And you're acknowledging God's nearness. And then L, live for his coming reward. We don't know what that end result's going to be. You know, at our church, we've been challenged to read the Bible through in a year, and we're in Job. And we all know the end story of Job. Job did not. You don't know. We don't know the end story of your struggle. I will guarantee you this, though. If you remain faithful and you pray and you continue to believe, God is going to bring you through that struggle in his timing. And it's going to be a big blessing that you could not have ever thought or imagined in that. So, brings us to this thought. What was God doing through Paul and Silas's real struggle? Let's find out what their big blessing was coming. Acts 16:27 through 31a tells us this. All right? It says, "And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. And Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang it and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Do you see the life witness was showing us of the fact that they were being aware of God's power? You know, it's very interesting. In that passage, it says that Paul and Silas were there. Is that correct? What does that verse say? All were there. So, was the influence of Paul and Silas in their time of struggle in prayer and in praising influenced even the inmates who chose to stay? Because had the others fled, would the Roman jailer, would he have also still probably got lost his life because they were not there. But it says all were there. How did Paul and Silas's life witness during this struggle impact the lives of the inmates? Now, the scriptures does not tell us exactly what happens with those inmates other than they were there. But we do know what the jailer did. What is he doing? He's down there, please, what is it I must do to be saved? That's a good question, isn't it? I know I'm standing on a Bible college, and you're taught Bible, and you know Bible, and all of those things. But we cannot always assume that everyone in this room has already made a choice to receive the Lord and believe in Him. So, let's think about that, all right? You know this verse. Let's read this one together. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So, in this verse, what do you have to do? Believe. All right, now I'm getting into my teaching with the children right now. What do you need to believe? Do you believe in Muhammad, but Allah, Buddha, there is no God? Who in this verse is it saying? You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. May I challenge you, anytime you're reading the Bible and as you're presenting this to anyone and you come to that word believe, we need to let people know exactly what it is and who it is that we need to believe. Because in our world of today, there's a lot of other gods out there that's being taught. Do any of you guys know the sign language of the word believe? Okay, I see a couple of hands. But it's this and this. Let me explain this to you. And I think American Sign Language has it absolutely correct. It's not just head knowledge. There's a lot of people that have heard and know. But it's this. You've got to choose to take it for yourself. That's what believe is. Not knowing it, but taking it for yourself. That's what believe is. And that's what we're talking about here. You can't just know the answers. You've got to take it for yourself. All right? And what is it that we need to believe about the Lord Jesus Christ and the things about the gospel? Romans 5:8 tells us this, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now that's another common verse. But do you guys really comprehend what all is in there? First of all, we've got to think of this. A true creator God who is holy and perfect, showed his love. How did he show his love? First of all, to us. We are the ones who were separated. Our sin separated you and me from the holy God. Remember, God is holy. We are not. Therefore, we are separated. God cannot be around sin. So he had to send his son, Jesus. And Jesus came willingly to pay the price with his life blood. You notice that it's in the blood. Jesus paid for our price of sin. Family, listen. He died. They put him on a cross. What happens after he was put on the cross? They put him in a tomb, right? What happens the third day? He comes back alive. With the children of today, I tell them he began to breathe again. Do you know why I say he began to breathe again? Because that proves that he was not a zombie or a walking dead. And yes, young children are aware of those two concepts. So he began to breathe again. That's what you must believe. And if you do that, then we can see that you would be able to have your sins forgiven and you would be able to be his child. Let's look at our last and final thought here of the award from God. All right? What was the award that Paul and Silas had in their situation? And thy house, okay? Now that's the other part of that Acts 16:31. It wasn't just because Paul received the Lord that everybody in his house received the Lord, because the very next verse tells us that every one of them, here it is, verse 32 says, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in the house. And he took them at the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and were baptized, he and all his all of his straightway. And when he had brought them into the house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. So, the jailer receives the Lord. Everyone in his house receives the Lord. Now, again, it is not required for baptism to be saved, but it's a public testimony that they have made that choice, and they had a party. Now, there's the rejoicing going on. Would any of these people have received the Lord if Paul and Silas did not go through their life struggle? Again, your life struggle. What does God have in the future and the reward from your struggle that you have been going through? And we can also see that they were able to rejoice in God's faithfulness through this. It's very interesting. And the next passage of that scripture, and I'll just kind of summarize this in closing, of the fact that they wanted to, okay, the next morning, the officials, they said, well, release them. Just let them go, okay? They didn't want to have this big thing. But you know what? They wanted to be released privately. Oh, Paul, I can almost see him and hear him saying this. Oh, no. You did this publicly. You've got to release us publicly. You've got to send your own people down here and free us. I really believe this was a conversation that I was having with somebody before this, working on this. And they were saying, well, I wonder if that was just so that it could be an encouragement to those young believers in that town. Apparently, they were very antagonistic about those who were sharing the gospel. But he wanted to be a public testimony that God protected them and set them free. Because we can see, as they were able to be released, they went to encourage Lydia and the others at her home, and they were able to encourage them. Remember, Lydia just came to the Lord right before all of this happened. This could have been a devastating moment in her life of fear. I don't want to talk about God. I'll get thrown into prison. But you know what? God allowed them to see that they were delivered, and God did protect them. Now, after this, they do depart. Without the real struggle, there would be no reward to rejoice over. Again, with your life struggle, without that struggle, you wouldn't have anything to rejoice. May I just challenge you with this? First of all, we talked about being agitated. If you compare this in a parallel, you can also see that when you're agitated, we need to acknowledge that God is near. God has this. It might be aggravating to you. Also, they were accused falsely. But if we're aware of God's power, does it not say the truth will set us free? Abused. All right, again, they were maybe abused physically, mentally, emotionally, however way that was, and that is for us. But after that, they were rewarded. You see the parallel in this passage? Let me bring it back to this. In this verse, we've already talked about this, but what is the choice you have to make? You have to believe. You have to believe in the Lord Jesus of what he has done for you. And if you do that, what is God's forever promise in this verse? That you will be saved. You will be set free of your shackles of sin. It won't be an earthquake, but it will be God's deliverance through his son's blood. You are freed from your sin and guilt. I want us all to bow our heads and close our eyes, and I want you to take a moment for yourself. I want you to ponder for you. Have you made that choice? If you have not, it would be my greatest honor, and maybe that would be the only reason that I came here is to share this, is that maybe you would choose to receive the Lord as your Savior. If you have not made that choice, I want you to think of that. And if you haven't, I will be up here in the front afterwards, and I would be glad to take my Bible and share with you, show you how you can do that. All right? And then in closing, I want us to, now you can look back up here at me and think of this. Even if you feel like you need to take your phone out and take a picture of this, in your next real life struggle, as a believer, will you be real? Will you recite Philippians 4:4? Rejoice in the Lord. Will you express the struggle to God? Don't stop praying. A, well, you acknowledge God's nearness and then rejoice in the Lord there. And then L, live for his coming reward. Don't stop believing. Will you be real? Let's pray. Father God, we need your help. We are all human. We all have our real world of life that we deal with. We thank you, though, that you are here in it, and you want to be part of it, and you want to help us to be real. Help us to remember to rejoice in the Lord, as Philippians 4:4 reminds us. Help us to express our struggle to you in prayer. Help us to acknowledge your nearness, God, by rejoicing in you. And then, help us to live for you and for your upcoming reward. God, I pray over this group of people and an individual prayer for their special struggle that they're dealing with. I pray that you have met with them in a special, individual, personalized way today. And we give this to you in Christ's name. Amen.